following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello again. Welcome to Radioland. I'm Rick Cheddar. I'm your host. Hey, how's it going? Well, we've already been through that at the very beginning of this. Oh, my God. I'm kind of in a rush. I'm kind of in a bind. I've got things going on. I got shit to do. You know how it goes. You know, it's the rhythm of life. It's what I thought I'd talk to you about a little bit today. The whole thing. I'm in a very awkward, weird position because it's not really awkward. It's not really all that weird, I guess, to anybody else. But here's the thing. I'm recording this, as usual, last minute, and I don't know why it's even considered that, but I typically do this on a Sunday, the day it's released, not this episode, long story, but, and then, you know, I'm down here in Studio B, technically Studio C is really where I'm at for this one. And, you know, I come down here in the afternoons where I've got some time away from everybody and the disturbances of life in general. And I can get down here and do my thing and get an episode recorded and post-produced and get everything up and running and, you know, promote it and all that fun stuff that goes with it. And then I go home for a while and then I come back down here and I get into Studio B and I do one of my favorite things in the whole world, which is the Booze and Blues show. On Radio Memphis, and it's a live show. Everything we do is live. Sunday nights at like 8 p.m. Central till about 11 or so, and we have live music and that kind of stuff. And I look forward to that show. I really do, because it's a bit of a departure from what we do, you know, during the week. I mean, yeah, it's still radio stuff, and it's fun, but there's somebody new in here all the time, and there's usually live music, and we have fun, and Jeff and I sit around and we shoot the shit and we tell the blues and we maybe have a beer or two and just, you know, it's a relaxing thing. It's not, I don't feel as so pressured as I am during the morning time during the week. And that's all part of that rhythm that I'm in. And currently at this, as we recording this now, I'm down here 7 days a week. I'm down here every day. There's not a day that I'm not down here. And in this particular instance, once I'm done recording today and getting the issue up, I'm going to be out of here for the rest of the day. I'm not coming back tonight. Jeff is doing the blues by himself this evening in this particular case, which would be last week for those of you that are listening. The reason being is that I have a function that I've been. No, I'm arm candy tonight for my wife. She has been invited and sort of told, heavily suggested that she attend a banquet this evening downtown for the Memphis Restaurant Association, which is all fine and dandy. There's an open bar, so I'm there. That's not going to be a problem. There'll be, you know, tons of people in the restaurant business there. That's what she does for a living. I won't have much in common with these folks. I did spend a very brief point of my life professionally working in a restaurant. It didn't go well. I'll save that for another episode. But what will be fun is that the table that we're sitting at, I do know that there's going to be a couple of musicians there. So I'll have something in common with somebody. So while my lovely wife is carrying on tech talk, if you will, shop talk with her folks over a apparent five-course dinner, I don't know what. Hey, I'm not going to eat. There's going to be a bar there. Daddy going to be over there at the bar. You know what I'm saying? Me and the musicians, and then we'll step outside and hide, and you know, do we'll do what we have to do to get through the evening, and it'll be fine. It's a different departure, is what I'm getting at. Which is fine. I mean, you know, that's how life works. We get into a rhythm of things and we do what we do. And then, you know, there's usually one or two days of the week where we're sitting there kind of trying to figure it all out and what we're going to do the next day and et cetera, et cetera. And that's all well and good. That's a good thing. And I got to thinking about that and about my rhythm. And I thought I would share that with you. I mean, everybody has their rhythms. I know it sounds sort of kinky, but hey, that's how we roll. But here's the deal. You know, my week starts like everybody else's on a Monday. I'm not like everybody else in that I don't complain about Monday. I kind of dig Monday. Monday's fun because it's I'm back into the groove, and away we go. And Monday through Friday It's the same thing. I'm down here in the station, you know, around 9, get on the air. Kate and I are doing this morning show now, and we're on till about 2 o'clock, you know, so that 5-hour span is focused, you know, almost entirely on what's happening on the air, and that's a good thing. But before that happens, I get up in the morning, and I usually, you know, I don't get up, you know, terribly early, to be honest with you. I get up about 8:15, 8:20. I'm usually awake by about 8. I don't really do anything until I absolutely have to. And I get up and I get dressed, and you know, and there's a pattern that we have at the house, and that pattern usually involves, you know, feeding the dogs and cats their breakfast. We don't have children, we have dogs, we have cats. And they get fed in the morning and they get fed at night. And, you know, they all want to go out. So out they go. And, you know, I get the breakfast thing ready. And then I get, you know, get my shit together. And I get dressed and, you know, everybody's, you know, doing their thing. The wife who's working her ass off all the time, she affords her the opportunity to sleep a little late. And I'm up anyway because I have to come in here. And then, you know, I get everything together and I got my coat on, or if it's cold, or, you know, I'm dressed, I've got my shoes and I've got my stuff. I got my bag. I got my phone, my keys. I go through the inventory. Where's my wallet? Where's my pocket knife? Do I have enough cash on me to get through the day? What's the deal? And I get going out the door. And then as I go down the driveway, there's the newspaper. And the newspaper is there, and so I pitch it up onto the front porch. I get into the car, and I come down here, and I do my thing. And this is the pattern that it goes Monday through Friday. When I get off the air, then it's sort of some open weird time from 2 to 6-ish, 7-ish, where I'm doing some stuff either from here or from the home studio at Studio A, or, you know, whatever it is I'm doing. And then, you know, the wife comes home that evening and we have dinner and maybe a few cocktails. And then I get up in the morning and away we go again. And then on Saturdays, I come down here for station business. I'm not on the air. There's other things going on. Dee is here. Joel is here. And sometimes we have a meeting and, you know, I get music. I'm dealing with that. And it's a little freer and open. I'm home by about 9 at night. Sunday, we start this thing again and then away we go. And I got to thinking about all of that, and there's a brief look at the window of my world, of kind of what it's like. It's not, I know, nauseating detail, but here was the thing, and it happened to me of all times. This morning, when I got up, on the weekends, my wife and I like to spend some quality time together. We'll usually go somewhere and have some type of a lunch or a breakfast, or, hey, brunch, and we've got our haunts that we go to. And usually about that time, I like to get the dogs out, you know, because sometimes Joe will run off. She'll maybe grab a quick morning game of tennis for an hour. And that gives me a chance to wake up and grab a shower. And I'll get the dogs and we walk around the block. And one of the things that I do is it goes back to this damn newspaper. We are subscribers to the Commercial Appeal newspaper. It's the name of the paper here in Memphis. Been here for many, many years. I think at one point there was, like any other city, there was like 2 or 3 other papers. You know, these are subscription dailies, you know, just your standard newspaper. Comes in the blue plastic bag, and I see it usually laying in the driveway because the paper guy has gotten to be pretty good about putting it in the driveway instead of into the jungle of the yard. And I get the paper, and I pitch it up onto the front porch, and I don't think anything else about it because I don't read the paper. My wife does. But some thought, I was looking at it, that, you know, it's the Sunday paper, it's the heaviest one, it's the biggest one, it's got the coupons in it, it's got the wilder stories in there, the elaborate stuff, usually it's mostly coupons. And I was thinking about how quaint that whole thing really is. There is something comforting about sitting down at night, I suppose, and that's, I think we're probably no different than most people. When we look at a newspaper, we don't necessarily look at it in the morning over breakfast, you know, that whole 1950s nuclear family with dad reading the morning paper, and then on his way home he picks up the evening paper, because if you'll remember, and I came up in a time when this was in the city that we had, there was a morning edition and an evening edition. You know, things had happened during the day and that was spread out. Now it's I don't know of anybody that does that anymore, but anyway, we don't. We have one paper. And what that paper does is it gives my wife a sense of, I don't know, comfort is a good way to put it. We're in the evening hours. When we go to bed, we have watched whatever television we're going to watch. We've eaten what we're going to eat, and we've consumed whatever we're going to consume. and it's time for bed. And her joy is to lay there in bed and read the paper. I read bits of it before she falls asleep. And it's odd because, you know, we're, especially me, I'm so connected to the goings on around the world through digital media that the paper just sort of seems pointless. And it really does. If, you know, on the surface, it seems sort of like a almost a colossal waste of time because the stuff that you're getting was delivered to you at like 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning sometimes. And by the time we get to it, or by the time my wife gets to the paper, everything that has happened that's in that in written form is old news. It's terrifyingly how fast we become acquainted with the goings on of what's happening around the world. And but there's still that comfort. She loves the paper. She doesn't want to ever get rid of it. What's really bizarre is we have been subscribers of this thing for as long as I can remember. And we actually canceled our subscription a long, long time ago, and they still want to give it to us, so we take it. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, that's all well and good. It makes her happy. You know, it's not that expensive. You know, you get it, you have it. But once again, it's like very, I don't know, do you feel connected when you're reading the paper? Magazines are that sort of same way. They've all kind of gone in a weird direction because a monthly release of a magazine is not going to have anything that's timely or pertinent to what it is that you're interested in, per se. But so they break out the human interest pieces. There's no breaking news. You know, magazines, you know, weekly magazines like Newsweek and Time, they've all, you know, shifted their entire audience onto their digital platforms. When you've got a mobile device, you know, like I've got my phone. I carry an iPhone 6 Plus. It's the big phone. It's the phablet, if you will. And I find myself using it more and more as opposed to a laptop or even another tablet because it's there. It's with me. It's wherever I am. So I can be connected to what is, you know, really in the world. My Twitter feed, for example, is a really kind of a weird mishmash of news sources and which, by the way, are non-biased sources. Yes, they are out there. Trust me. If it's one thing I can't stand, it's political news. It's just, it brings up so many horrible things about people. So I try and avoid that. But there is, you know, some non-biased news stuff in there, local, some regional American news and world news that's in there. And then there's like some people I like to follow. There's a couple of comedians in there. There's some individuals, some friends of mine. And, you know, and that's where I get a bulk of what's happening in the world. Plus, the thing that I do at Radio Memphis every morning involves me seeking out news. Actually, it seeks me out, which is kind of cool because I'm so in touch with what's going on. I don't have to go far to find what I need. So, pardon me, the spring has come and my sinuses are kind of at me. But there is something quaint about that old newspaper. There's something, I don't know. I guess comforting is the way I know I used that term before. But, you know, here's the thing. The paper, you know, it comes, it's read, and it's discarded. And it almost seems like a waste. It really does because there's this thing in your home. There's this paper that it really serves no other purpose aside from if you have a bird, you could put it on your bird cage with it at the bottom for the bird to poop upon. So I suppose you could put it in the bottom of your cat box if you don't use like a liner or something like that. I mean, or you can wrap things in it, but I don't know that I want to. I used to wrap like fish in newspaper. The problem is it made the fish taste like paper. So, you know, it all ultimately winds up going out with the garbage or the recyclables. And that's just it. It's the paper. And you wonder why it's still around. And here's the thing. A lot of cities are stepping away from the old printed paper thing on a 7-day-a-week deal. A lot of them are going like on a Sunday. They have like a Sunday and then like a Thursday, Friday run or a Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday run, something like that. Because, you know, look, nowadays, if you do subscribe to the paper, if you've gotten one, the Monday paper is it's about as substantial as a comic book. I mean, there's not much in it. In fact, there's comic books that have a lot more substance to it than the papers do. And the papers know this. And they're in the business of, you know, selling subscriptions and selling advertisement within them. They're going to expose you to that, you know, no matter what. That's what you do. And, you know, if you read the paper, you understand that. And it's and sometimes the advertisements are what you're looking for, especially the coupon thing. And it works out. But there's a cost to this. There's a cost to getting the paper. I mean, the stock. I'm talking about the gigantic rolls of stock virgin paper. I don't know if it's virgin paper. I think they use recycled materials now. And then they got to go through the cost of printing it. You know, ink. Lord knows. Ink ain't cheap. And you've got, you've got color pictures in there and color ads and you got writers and you got content you got to put in there and there's all the stuff. And then meanwhile, these newspapers, they have their internet version. They have their online content, which allows them to really elaborate and get into, you know, video and other pictures are a little more detailed. Here's some stuff in the paper, but here's more on the story online. And that's what we're seeing. A lot of them do that. And it's weird. Out of everything that is happening in this world, everything that we see as far as technology, everything that we come in contact with, and it changes, it seems like, on a monthly basis. You know, you've got your phones, you've got your tablets, the desktop and the laptops are starting to go away now. And cable television is against the ropes now. They're having problems because people are cutting the cable and they're getting their on-demand stuff. And there's still that need to find out what's going on, but they can get it at their own pace and they can get it when they need to get it. And yet the newspaper every morning gets delivered. And every evening it gets sort of consumed, sort of passively. You just glance through it. You might find an article. You might read all the way through. Newspapers have always been written in a form where the headline gives you the hook-ish. You know, here's the story. The first paragraph is the nuts and bolts of it, if you will. You know, the real hard-hitting stuff. The second paragraph starts to really kind of elaborate. And then from there on out, if you wanted to read more, you can. So you can really go through, you can read everything in a newspaper in about 5 minutes, because if you look at the headline that's of interest, I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs, maybe three paragraphs, and then I'm done with it. I've got what I needed to know out of that. If it's a big if the story affects me, that's what we've become. I think we've become a society now. And this is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. This is a good thing. That the things that we come in contact with as far as news, how news is defined is, you know, news, let's look at the etymology of this. News is plural of new. That's what it is. This is what is new. This is what has happened. This is what is going on. Therefore, it is new. If you have not heard this, it is new to you. Since we've got a bunch of new stuff together, we'll call it news. Our language is so wonderful. But that's what it is. And that's, you know, it got started as, you know, long, long time ago in the colonial times in this country. There were small little newspapers. And they were so simple. It was a one sheet deal. And it would start off with the guy that would publish the thing. He would be the one that started it. And what he would do is he would take this big piece of paper, this big, big piece of paper that would be folded up. And he would start by telling his story about something that he'd encountered, whether in town or maybe a neighbor of his or something happened to him directly. Like, let's say his barn caught on fire and it burned to the ground. And he would write out the details about his personal barn fire. And then what he would do is fold the thing up and he would take it to his neighbor, which was probably a good 5-10 miles away. And his neighbor would read that story about his neighbor's barn fire. And then he would go, you know, I had an incident as well. I unfortunately had a horse break his leg in a hole on one of my pastures. So I had to deal with that. So he tells that story, and then he passes the paper on to his other neighbor. And around it went, and people would add to it. And by the time you were finished, I guess the last guy got to know everything that was going on, because the first two guys, they got only got to, well, you know, especially the first guy. Well, I don't know anything. I just told you what happened to me. Maybe the paper got back to him. I don't know. I never really was that big of a student when it came to the history of newspapers, but I do know that happened. And it became somewhat interesting to the point where the guy that would start it would say, look, let me hire a few folks and let me go around and ask my neighbors what they had going on, and I'll put it in the paper, and then everybody can see it. And then everybody looks at it and go, well, this is interesting. I did not know that Mrs. Crumapple was having a social welcoming back her cousin who had just spent 5 years abroad. You know, that was what was in there. And to justify the cost of printing the thing, enough copies for his neighborhood, he would go to the town and he would go to, say, I don't know, a tavern owner, and he'd say, hey, listen, what do you got? He might go, look, I got a special on ale flip and strippers and corned beef sandwiches, or whatever it was that he put in there. Strippers. I know, colonial stripping. That just seems sort of kind of fun, actually. Hairy. But that you'd say, well, look, give me a nickel and that'll pay for my cost of promoting this or putting this in for printing the paper and getting it delivered to my, I don't know, 12 subscribers. And thus the industry was born. And that's how it came about. It was a strange sort of word of mouth, but it was written. And that was the concept of it. It was written. It didn't change from person to person. You know, you remember the old game telephone where you have a bunch of people in a circle and a guy starts it. And he starts off by saying a sentence. And the sentence might be something like, these cheese enchiladas are cold. And then he would whisper it to the guy next to him. And then he would whisper it to the guy next to him. And it would go all the way around the circle. And it would come all the way back. And the guy that started it got to hear what, and it might be like, you know, Ford Pinto was a great car. You know, it might go from one thing to the other. And that's why word of mouth translations were never really such a great idea. So if we put it down in print, it was always going to be there no matter what. That's just it. It was in print. It's there forever. The internet has become that. You put something on the internet and it is there. Well, it's there forever. It's hard to get rid of stuff that's posted on this vast universe of data and information. Whereas a newspaper is now starting to go the way of antiquity, because yes, it may be in print on paper. It's tangible. It's obvious. And then it's thrown away, never to be seen again. Very few people are keeping an archive of actual written papers. I'm sure somebody is, but it's not as important to us as it once was. And that's the world now. That's the world we live in. So yeah, there is something kind of odd and strange and antiquated, yet I can see the romance in it. And I see why they stay, because there are too many people who find that it is important to them that they reach down there in the morning and pick up that newspaper and either give it to their wives or put it under their arm and get in their car and go on about their day. Whether it's relative to what's happening to you or not, that's the deal. And it has, over the years, at least in my family, it has become incorporated into the rhythm of the life that we lead. Does it have a future? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't know. They're trying to figure it out. I mean, I've talked to people in the newspaper business, and they always refer to they know the inevitable, and they're funny because they go like, we just hope for a very long and slow and protracted death of the industry, because it's coming. It's, you know, it's not going to be one of those things where you wake up on Monday and it's going to be, okay, we're done. I mean, it might in some isolated cases, but, you know, so many huge papers that are out there, so many huge things that occur. It's, you know, the Wall Street Journal is one of them. The New York Times, the LA Times, you know, the big city ones, you know, those are always going to be there. They just seem like they'll never go away. It's not a bad thing. It's just that's just how it is. There for a while, I was a subscriber to USA Today. I dug that because it was a world newspaper. Not really. Well, yeah, it was an American newspaper, but it didn't have a home, you know. And it was like, what was it? I don't know, a couple hundred bucks a year. And this thing would be delivered to your home. And you got it Monday through Friday. And the Friday edition would have all the weekend stuff in it. And I ultimately canceled the subscription. You know, it came. I wrote it out, obviously, until the end. And I I got the phone call from, because I just didn't renew it. I got the phone call from their office, and I talked to a very lovely young lady. And the reason why this is remarkable to me that I remember this is because, quite frankly, she was so understanding when I told her that I said I wasn't going to renew my subscription. I said, I'm sorry. I mean, I enjoy the paper, but, you know, I work in an industry where I'm completely surrounded by digital equipment that is just barfing up every bit of detritus and news that I either need to know or not know, but I can sort through, and I get more at no cost. I love the paper, but when you open it up and you're going through it, you realize, I know this story, I know that story, I know this story, I know that story. And it seemed sort of pointless to them or to me. And the lady on the phone, she said, I totally understand. And there's no way I can offer you a better deal. That's just, I've given you my best. I thank you for being a subscriber for as long as you were. Thank you and good luck. It was almost like this strange little goodbye to an old friend. You know, my friend is leaving the country to go live his life in another world, in another time, and will never come home. And goodbye, old friend. I will miss you. And it's funny because when I travel, if I've got time to kill and I go to the, you know, the little, when you're in the airport and after you've gone through security, they have the little stores, you know, they're really overpriced, stupid stores. Yes, I'll pay $5 for a Hershey bar. Here's $20. I'll take that little bottle of water, you know, that kind of shit. And they will invariably have a copy of USA Today, and I will invariably buy that one copy. Because it was that moment of comfort. It was that moment of, I enjoyed reading it. I enjoyed looking through it. I enjoyed, you know, the crosswords, just the little interactive stuff that was in it. It was very, very faint and weird. And I would sit there on the plane reading this. And, you know, you take a moment, you look around the plane, and there's nobody doing the same thing. You're the, like, the odd guy out. You're the one that's reading the paper, but at the same time, you feel sort of empowered by that, and you go, you know what? I actually know what's going on in the world now because I've read it in my paper. You people with your digital devices that you have to turn off when we get on the plane. I can't turn off this newspaper. I get to read this while we're 45,000 feet into the universe, or whatever the case may be. It is that. It is that sense that it's still there. Unfortunately, I could not have been more wrong in that statement. The fact of the matter is, as I was reading yesterday's news, and the people that were on the plane with their nose buried in their devices were learning about things that were happening right then and there, and it was affecting their lives. And that's the world. That's that goes back to that rhythm, doesn't it? So few things happen on a national or international scale that actually affects us on a personal level. And that's a fact. That's why I'm so amused about people who raise political arguments on social media. Because it serves no purpose. It really does serve absolutely zero purpose. I hate this guy because he did this, this, and this, and this. And my question to all of you who do this is, how does this affect you? Have you had to change your life? How does this affect me? Because it doesn't. Political forces come and go. Political ideas change, oddly enough, about every 8 years. And people spend more time blaming other people for that. So political arguments in social media are just sort of kind of pointless. It's like, okay, great, you're going to say this. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Lay it out there if that's what you want to do. But if you're doing it to the extent of thinking that you're going to sway other people's points of view about things, it's just not going to happen. It's not a realistic thing to try. That's why you don't see newspapers typically doing that anymore. They used to, but they don't anymore. And that was that whole thing about, well, this newspaper is a liberal magazine, and it's a liberal piece of crap, and I don't like that they did to back this, and they do that, and they used to. Okay, they don't anymore. They can't. They can't do that because you can't divide your audience anymore because you're scrambling to have that one extra subscriber. So you got to make it as appealing to as many people as possible. Ergo, websites now, there's conservative media, there's liberal media. They can do this. because they know they can get advertisers that go specifically to that. But to newspapers, it's a little different because there's so many people in the community that have so many different points of view that it would just be sort of foolish to say, well, we're a Republican newspaper or we're a Democratic newspaper. I mean, it wasn't until about, I guess, probably during the, I guess when George Sr. was president, when, you know, the old man, when he was president, I think that was about the last time you would really hear about newspapers that were endorsing those types of candidates. It's not as popular as what I'm getting at. It does happen, yes, in smaller areas, but it doesn't happen as to the scale it was, because you'd see Wolf Blitzer on the CNN talking about that shit, and he would go, well, the New York Times has endorsed blah, blah. You know, it doesn't necessarily happen anymore. And if they do, they're keeping it kind of quiet because of that very thing. I could go into the whole political aspect of the two-party system and why I think it's fucked up, but I'm not going to do that now. In fact, we'll just save that for another time, shall we? Yeah, that'll be a fun conversation, too.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
I would say thanks for tuning in. Here's the thing about that. We're not really tuning into anything. Nobody's tuning into anything anymore. Because you don't tune anything, except maybe a guitar or a piano. It's, look at how many times people have put their finger on me. That's kind of sick when you think of it that way, but that's what it boils down to. 17 things people do on Easter. Number 7 will blow you away. It's stupid. And there's going to be some waterhead sitting back there going, some thief that has, victimized me. And they'll sit there and go, well, don't flatter yourself, Rick. You're not that special. Look, dude, I am pretty fucking special. If how come that I did this and then 6 months later you're doing the same fucking thing after you told me before you would never do it?
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
Yeah, see, I used to be sort of kind of hard-nosed about the newspaper industry, and I used to think, what a colossal waste of time and look, if it makes people happy, that's a good thing. If my wife is thrilled to have the paper, then so be it. She should have the paper. This is the way she's royalty. She's the queen of the house. If she gets what she wants, I'm not the king. She's the queen. I'm just sort of the court jester, kind of trying to make everybody somewhat amused, which is what I hope I did here with this. And I thank each and every one of you for being a subscriber of this podcast. I was just asked today, somebody was talking to me about this show, and they said, hey, where can I find it? And I told them, and they said, hey, listen, I have the TuneIn app on my phone. Can I get it there? And I said, absolutely. You can search for it in TuneIn. We're also at Stitcher. That's another great place for podcasts. Some wonderful shows can be found there. I've been finding myself listening to all sorts of different shows, and there's really, really cool stuff out there. So, yeah, you can get it. Stitcher, Player.fm is another place you can find it. Blueberry, Podbean is the host of this thing. And, of course, at radio-memphis.com, look for From Radioland. That's sort of the new home there. And the written spot for this, which is the actual, I don't know, it's the blog that I've had for long before this podcast happened. So every single episode can be found through there, and that's rickcheddar.blogspot.com. You'd think I'd change the name of it, but I haven't. So there again, if you have an Apple device, you can find us on iTunes. Those of you on Android, you can find us in all the other directories as well. Subscribe, and please tell friends about it if you really enjoyed what you find. And I thank each and every one of you for being a part of it. You heard what's coming up next time. I'm going to go. I got to get out of here. Got a banquet I got to go do. I've already been told, watch my mouth. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. And I told my wife this. I said, it's an open bar. All bets are off. We'll see how it goes. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.